Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, Middle Georgia's federal prosecutor's office puts a pause on new cases due to the government shutdown. Energy demand for new data centers is driving increased natural gas production. And 1 year after the fire at the BioLab chemical plant, new questions are being raised about the response.
You worked so hard all of your life to obtain just a living. And then it's things like this.
Today is Tuesday, October 7th. I'm Chase McGee, and this is Georgia Today. The week-old government shutdown has caused the federal prosecutor's office in the Middle Georgia District to stop working on cases. Court records show the district's U.S. Attorney, Will Keyes, requested an order to halt all civil cases, with the exception of certain immigration matters, because of the funding lapse. A judge has extended deadlines in cases until the shutdown ends. The mayor of the city of Warner Robins is offering financial help to federal employees already affected by the federal government shutdown. Warner Robins is home to Robins Air Force Base, where thousands of civilians work alongside active duty members of the Air Force and full-time members of the Air National Guard. Mayor LaRonda Patrick says during the shutdown, the city won't charge late fees on past due bills or cut off water, sewer, natural gas, or garbage pickup for federal workers whose paychecks have been paused. Patrick says Warner Robins will extend utility bill amnesty until at least the end of the federal shutdown. Georgia farmers hit hard by last year's Hurricane Helene are still waiting on long-promised federal aid. The U.S. Department of Agriculture approved more than $530 million in disaster relief for the state last week, but the federal government shutdown has temporarily halted progress on distributing the funds. The aid is part of a $30 billion national block grant program created after a series of extreme weather events. Georgia's share was negotiated over 4 months between state agricultural officials and the USDA to cover crops not typically included in disaster programs. Once the shutdown ends, state officials say applications will be processed immediately to get relief to Georgia's farmers. It's been a year since a massive fire at the BioLab chemical plant in Conyers, east of Atlanta, produced a plume of toxic smoke that remained for days. Federal reports point to safety lapses inside the plant. But new questions are also being raised about the response. GPB's Pamela Kirkland has been following the aftermath in the podcast Manufacturing Danger, which is in its second season. Here's Pamela.
The 911 call came in at 5 a.m. on September 29th last year.
Rockdale County 911, how can I help you?
We got a freaking head bust. There's chemical smoke everywhere.
BioLab is one of the nation's largest producers of pool and spa chemicals like chlorine tablets. The toxic plume from the fire drifted across majority black Rockdale County, forcing evacuations and shelter-in-place orders. In Atlanta, 20 miles away, people noticed a haze and a sharp chlorine odor. For longtime residents near the plant, this wasn't the first time.
In 2004, we only saw gray and black clouds. This one, we've seen pink, we've seen black, we've seen beige.
The company has had 5 major accidents over 20 years. Gene Sadler has lived through all of them.
You hear a siren coming our way and you think, oh my God, what's going on?
She's now part of a class action lawsuit brought by residents who are reporting health issues they say are stemming from the fire. The U.S. Chemical Safety Board is still investigating, but has already said reactive materials came in contact with water, which triggered at least 2 fires. They also found that the sprinkler system had corrosion, like salt water eating away at metal, and had been leaking in the weeks before the fire.
When I first saw the fire, I assumed it was the leaky sprinklers because it was a constant issue.
Randy Garcia left BioLab 5 months before the accident. He was the on-site engineer and says he had been replacing corroded sprinkler heads until the day he quit. Residents now have questions about exactly what chemicals were released in the fire. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency monitored the air right afterwards and found unsafe chlorine levels near the plant, mostly overnight. The rest of the county showed acceptable levels. But residents now say their testing wasn't enough. They brought in their own tester, Scott Smith, known for his work after the 2023 East Palestine train derailment in Ohio. He says the EPA wasn't thorough enough in their monitoring.
They don't look for the full spectrum of chemicals. I say you can't find what you don't look for, then they declare everything safe.
Smith says his sampling found dangerous chemical byproducts, dioxins and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. An EPA spokesperson said in an email that it takes concerns about its emergency response seriously, but did not respond to Smith's specific findings. Biolab declined to respond to this story. The company disputes any federal finding from the Chemical Board investigation so far, but says it is still cooperating. Biolab also faces a federal lawsuit from the county. In May, the company said it will no longer make pool chemicals in Conyers, but will continue to use the facility to store and distribute its products. After five fires in 20 years, Jean Sadler wants none of it near her house.
You work so hard all of your life to obtain just a living. And then it's things like this. It's nothing I can do about that would drain you.
The Chemical Safety Board says its investigation could take another 6 months.
For GPB News, I'm Pamela Kirkland.
You can find out more about the history of the company and the aftermath of the chemical fire at Biolab in the podcast Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab story from GPB. An insatiable demand for energy from new data centers and electrical appliances is driving new production of natural gas supplies. That's according to industry insiders who spoke yesterday at a state legislative panel examining the state's future energy needs. Members of the Special Committee on Resource Management Energy Subcommittee heard from advocates for the natural gas industry, who pointed to the fossil fuel as a way to produce electricity to meet growing demand for power. Scott Tollison is an executive with the Municipal Gas Authority of Georgia. He spoke about just how much power data centers consume.
And just some perspective, the 100-megawatt data center that we're looking at says they're going to burn about 18,000 decatherms a day. That's enough natural gas to run 350,000 natural gas water heaters a day.
Tollison noted converting it to electricity is not as efficient as consuming it directly for things like cooking or heating. Legislators also heard from advocates of nuclear power to meet demand. Out of the 86 children's hospitals in the country rated by U.S. News & World Report, one of the best is in Georgia. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
Children's Healthcare of Atlanta ranked among the top 10 in the nation for all specialties evaluated, including cancer, heart surgery, and disorders of the lungs, kidneys, and nerves. Ben Harder is chief health analyst at U.S. News & World Report. He says Georgia is lucky to have such great care available.
There are a lot of states that do not have a hospital that is ranked among the best in all 10 specialties. That's a rarity. Georgians are fortunate to have a really great hospital located in Atlanta.
Other Georgia Children's Hospitals ranked include facilities in Augusta, Macon, and Savannah. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Also in Warner Robins today, the city demolished another building in an area called Commercial Circle as a part of their effort to build a town center. 65 years ago, the land outside the main gate of Robins Air Force Base was the city's heart. But today it has been passed over by miles of car-centered strip malls and suburban development. Once Warner Robins buys up and demolishes the old Commercial Circle, city leaders plan to rebuild it into a walkable and modern commercial district. After a Change.org petition and community push, the DeKalb County School District is extending recess for elementary students. Starting in January 2026, all elementary schools will provide a 30-minute daily recess. The change follows a petition with nearly 3,000 signatures criticizing the district's earlier scheduling changes that limited playtime. District officials say the update responds directly to parent concerns. School leaders will receive scheduling options to implement the change early next year. The Georgia Department of Public Health has begun administering COVID-19 vaccines at health departments across the state. The agency announced the shots today after a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention committee approved new guidelines for the vaccine about 2 weeks ago. DPH says vaccine availability will depend on supply, and residents are encouraged to call their local health departments ahead of time before going in for a shot.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
In Georgia sports, Columbus Crew midfielder Darlington Nagbe plans to retire at the end of the Major League Soccer playoffs. The 35-year-old has won 4 league titles in 15 MLS seasons, including with Atlanta United in 2018. And Auburn football says the Tigers will face Baylor in the Aflac kickoff game to open the 2026 season next year in September at Atlanta's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The team announced the game yesterday, saying it includes a first-of-its-kind name, image, and likeness deal tied directly with ticket sales for student-athletes. Metro Atlanta's public transit agency, MARTA, says it will complete the region's first bus rapid transit project ahead of the 2026 FIFA World Cup. The agency's interim chief told Fulton County commissioners last week the line will be launched by April 2026. Previously, the line was only expected to be partially running by the first World Cup match in June. That's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. If you haven't hit subscribe on this podcast, take a moment right now and keep us current in your podcast feed. Got feedback? We'd love to hear it. Email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Chase McGee. We'll see you tomorrow.